From the City of Angels, off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, get ready for a program on ghosts with Robert Honeycutt. He's of the Georgia Ghost Society. We've got a few, just a few, EVPs that I think you'll enjoy that we'll play without any fanfare. Robert Honeycutt joins us. Hey, before we get going into the program, I want to say happy birthday to my dear best friend, Ron Barber in St. Louis. Ron heads up a company called Line of Duty that trains police departments around this country in training them and trying to make it safer for those officers. He's 60 years old today. It's hard to believe because when I knew him, he was 32, 33 years old. It seems like he was just a kid. But he's a dear person. He's got a heart of gold. And, you know, sometimes through time and space and distance, we don't see each other the way we should as friends. But I'm always thinking of him. He's a good man, and he's got, like I said, a heart of gold. And we have all in our lives had some very dark moments, haven't we? And during some of mine, he was always there for me. So happy birthday to you, Ron Barber. 60 years old, old man. A U.S. missile strike that appeared to have shattered a crippled spy satellite and vaporized its hazardous hydrazine fuel set up cheers among Pentagon planners who for weeks had worked to turn an anti-missile system into one that could track and kill an object orbiting the planet. But even as the debris from the shattered satellite began raining down over the Pacific Ocean, there were worries that the U.S. achievement might spur other nations to advance their own anti-satellite programs and turn outer space into a potential battlefield. Well, you never know. Up there on the coasttocoastam.com website, you will find under the feature story some video of the missile hit. That's right. It's been released by the Pentagon. We've got it. Take a look at it. You will see it. You'll see the impact. You'll see the explosion. Ancient Maya astronomers aligned their soaring temples with the stars, and now modern archaeologists have found the ruins of hidden cities in the Guatemalan jungle by peering down from space. Archaeologists and NASA scientists began teaming up 5 years ago to search for clues about the mysterious collapse of the Maya civilization that flourished in Central America and southern Mexico for 1,000 years. The work is paying off, according to an archaeologist who recently discovered 5 sprawling sites with hundreds of buildings using a spy satellite that can see through clouds and forest to reveal differences in the vegetation below. The archaeologist said the satellite images made it infinitely easier to find ruins covered for centuries by dense jungle. President George W. Bush says that he would not compromise with the Democratic-led Congress on his demand that phone companies that took part in his warrantless domestic spying program be shielded from lawsuits. The president has demanded Congress protect companies, the big ones like AT&T, Verizon, and all the others that participated in the anti-terrorism program. He wants them protected from civil lawsuits that accuse them of violating your privacy rights. A California man is battling a very rare and unusually fatal parasite caused by a brain-eating amoeba found in the soil. Listen to this horror story. Matt Moore, he's a fire captain. He became seriously ill in November, and doctors initially baffled as to what was causing his sickness. 43 years old, he is now on life support in critical care in a San Diego hospital. Late last month, the doctors, using a brain biopsy, pinpointed the illness to a parasite, an extremely rare one, an infection caused by the brain-eating amoeba. They say about 150 cases of this disease have been reported worldwide since scientists discovered it in the early 90s, and that the amoeba can infect humans. Scientists believe the amoeba infects humans by entering through a wound or by being inhaled after it has become airborne. In London, in what they say is a last-ditch attempt to save Britain's pork industry, dozens of pig farmers gathered in London aiming for an internet hit with their song, Stand By Your Ham. The song, which reworks Tammy Wynette's Stand By Your Man, is intended to alert the public there to a sector that farmers say is being pushed to extinction by greedy supermarket chains and rising feed prices. Now, this song will be available for download over the weekend if you're interested from this website, pigsareworthit.com. So have at it. A very strong earthquake shook rural northeastern Nevada, damaging a town's historic district, but sparing residents from any serious injury. Wells, Nevada got hit. The magnitude of the quake, initially estimated at 6.3, revised to 6.0. Didn't we just have a full moon? Up next, Jim Berklin, geologist. He predicts earthquakes. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here he is, geologist Jim Berklin, suspended from a California government geology job when he made a prediction that a major quake would occur during the 1989 World Series in the Oakland Bay Area. Well, guess what? It did happen, and now he continues to predict. He's retired, publicly states that quake windows could be the cause of this. He uses all his tables with the lunar perigee when the moon is closest to Earth to affect more gravitational pull on the planet. Here he is, Jim Berklin. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, George. Just great.
You know, I was watching the full moon. I was watching the eclipse, and I couldn't help but think of the earthquake they just had a few days ago in Indonesia, where they had a tsunami warning, and now we get this big one in Nevada, a 6. They downgraded it from a 6.3. It's got to be tied to the moon again. You're right again.
Absolutely. Now, a syzygy is the lining up of the sun, moon, and Earth. Happens twice a month with every new and full moon. And if you have an eclipse, which is a perfect alignment, that's a perfect syzygy, and the odds go up. Now, actually, that 7.4 in Indonesia was on the very day of the eclipse. That was yesterday. It was in the morning, our time.
Yep.
And the San Fernando quake in 1971 was on the day of the lunar eclipse, as was the previous big quake in Southern California in Long Beach in 1933 on March the 10th. That was on the day of an eclipse of the moon. And it happens so frequently that it's just hard to ignore. It's no guarantee, but the odds go up. And that's when I encourage people to look at all the symptoms. I just got a letter from a gal up in southern Idaho, and she said her cats were going bonkers just as they did before a previous quake. And so the whole family knew a quake was coming up, and as that eclipse was there last night. And, of course, they felt the quake today. It was felt in Idaho, in Salt Lake City.
Utah.
Southern California.
All over the place.
Yeah. So it was only about 6 miles deep. And that's why the damage was fairly severe. A number of buildings crumbled, and there were like 30 or no, more than 30 buildings actually damaged. And one fellow had a broken arm. It's only wound I heard about from the quake. So that's pretty fortunate.
Well, you know, Jim, I'm beginning to predict earthquakes merely just by what you've taught us.
Well, that's my hope. The syzygy and the perigee, which is the closest monthly approach of the moon, when you get them close together, then you get super tides. And boy, April, May, and June, we're going to have some real battle of tides. And then come in December, the tides are going to hit 9.0 feet at the Golden Gate, and that's within 2/10 of the maximum possible. So this should be quite a year for shakes. And you look at the quake yesterday, the 7.4 in Sumatra, was the strongest and the quake in the world since December 8th. And the December 8th quake in the Fiji Islands was on the day of the December new moon.
Exactly.
Syzygy again.
Yeah,
so
it's there.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, just today, in the last few hours, I've been going through all of the Nevada quakes I could get my hands on. And I've got combined a couple of lists, and I found 27 quakes that were at least 5.5 magnitude, given a Nevada epicenter. And I was becoming confounded because I only find 5 of the 27 that fit my theory. But that means that the Nevada quakes have their own window. And this is what, scientific investigation produces. You don't always prove what you expect to prove. And so this came up that I would not predict a quake for one of my windows in Nevada because most of them occur out of my window during the time I call a volcanic window, which occurs from day 7 after a syzygy through day 14. And it just happens that this quake today was on day 14. It's also on the day of a, morning after an eclipse. But, and so I've just found a new criterion for different areas in quakes.
Now, well, I know that makes it things a little more accurate for you when you put these together.
Yes, and it's one of the problems when people try to lump all the quakes in the world or, so, say, all over the United States, and they say, well, we don't see a pattern. Well, they're missing the fact that in Iowa, there are about 8 quakes listed and 4 in and 4 out of the window, so there's no pattern. Or they look down in the Salton Sea Trough, and they find about 80% of them are in the volcanic window, largely because of the high heat flow down there. And so if you lump the apples and oranges and try to see a pattern, you will miss it. You have to look at specific areas and see what the timing of the past quakes.
Hey, Jim, I'm going to be in Seattle tomorrow for the night doing my program there.
Yes.
I do know we've been talking about things possibly heating up over there. What do you think?
Oh, my. Well, you're certainly in the good window. In the Seattle area, the Puget Sound area has the same window as California. And so we all know that that big one in the year 1700 was January 26th, I believe. And that was on the day of syzygy. And going back through the old records, and it was in between two extremely high tide periods in January and early February of 1700.
Do you see anything in the Midwest and South with the New Madrid fallout?
Well, of course, that's always a possibility. I think more likely what I'm a little concerned about right now is the Wasatch Fault, which goes right through Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh.
Because they felt this 6 today in Salt Lake City, and you often get distant triggered earthquakes, something that was ignored by high science for many, many years. They always said earthquakes are random events and you can't predict them, and one quake has nothing to do with another, except they recognized there were aftershocks after a big quake along the same fault line. But then after the 91 Landers quake, they found there was a series of quakes, that was down in the Mojave Desert. There were a series of quakes up around Mammoth Lakes, and then up at Mount Lassen, and then a 5 magnitude hit over in Utah, and then a 5 magnitude down in southern Nevada. So especially right after that 7.4 in Landers, there was a 6.8 in only about 50 miles away up at Big Bear. So that turned everything around, and science finally took another step forward and accepted that large quakes can trigger other quakes even at hundreds of miles away.
Well, Jim, you've been right on the button. Science still not welcoming everything you do, but people are starting to wake up a little bit, aren't they?
Oh, my. The public reception is marvelous. I'm getting, hundreds of letters, and they all see it because they're not blinded by a training that says earthquakes are not predictable. Or maybe they're predictable in 30 years, which is a type of a time frame that doesn't do many people much good.
Tell us about the animals again.
Yes.
Because this is an interesting part of your theory.
Sure is. I found it very difficult to accept at the beginning because I thought, black boxes, these million-dollar instruments are far more accurate than the dumb animal. And then I got a call in 1974, a month after a 5.9 quake shook San Jose. And I'd been within 14 hours of predicting that one, right on the money. And about a month later, I got a call from a physicist from Xerox, Antonio Nafferati. And he called me and said, I agree with your upcoming seismic window. This is for the window following that 5.9, because the cats are disappearing again. And I thought, what's going on? And he said, yes, I've been looking at the lost and found column in the local paper, and I see that it increases 2 or 3 times just before local quakes.
See, you've got to look for trends, not necessarily numbers, right?
Exactly. Changes, rate of changes, and so that caught my attention, but I was very dubious until I said, how long in advance do these animals disappear? And he says, it appears a week to 10 days in advance of our local quakes. And of course, it takes a few days for people to put an ad in the paper, and only a very small percentage of lost pets show up as lost pet ads. This is kind of expensive, and a lot of people realize cats come and go, you know, sure. They just start wandering, so they don't worry about it too much. But when he mentioned this week to 10 days, I was dumbstruck because I realized our cat Rocky had disappeared 6 days before that 5.9 quake I had predicted. And I hadn't paid any attention to the quake prediction of Rocky. But he was still gone a month later when Antonio was talking to me. In fact, Rocky did not come home for 6 months. He reappeared 4 days before the next 5-magnitude quake in the Bay Area, which was at Livermore, and that hooked me. And I've been keeping daily records now of the lost and found for the San Jose Mercury, the Los Angeles Times, and the San Francisco Examiner. And I have all of those in albums. I call them my catalog. I keep track of the cats. And I don't want to be dogmatic about it, but...
hey, it works!
Yes, it works! And Antonio was able to publish on this, but in my scientific efforts, I couldn't seem to publish because it was always rejected by the peers. So it seems we have, peer review is a form of censorship. There's just no doubt about it.
Tell us about the website, Jim, before we take calls at the half.
Okay. Oh, great. We'll get some calls.
Absolutely.
It's SYZYGY, Syzygy. And it's in the dictionary, and it's in the Bible, and it's in many other places. I had it on my license plate, and the cop pulled me over and said, "You didn't do anything wrong, sir. I just had to know what that meant." But so it's Syzygy Job, my initials, .com. And there are a lot of input from people around the world about what their own pets have been doing or what their own bodily symptoms are, and some people get dreams, visions. I don't just reject all these things out of hand, because if it works, use it. And so if they visit my site, they will see many, many reports of people that predicted the recent quake and by various methods.
Jim, I'm beginning to sense that a big one's on the way.
Well, okay. But you have to be a little more specific for it to count. Now, if you tell me it's going to be a major quake within a week or two.
In this spot, this location, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then you should give a confidence level. If you tell me you're 1% confident say that it's going to rain tonight, I'm surely not going to bring my umbrella. But if you say it's a 70 or 80% chance, then I probably would bring my umbrella. If I knew that you had success in the past.
Sure.
You have a track record.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, now, what about you? Do you feel this?
Especially now, this year, I'm getting more and more concerned because, like, Southern California has not had a 6-plus for years, and usually after a dry spell followed by a heavy rainfall, you usually get your larger quakes.
And they've been getting a lot of rain this season.
Yes. That's picking up, and we certainly, the Sierras are loaded with snow. Now, people... you really can't ignore the fact that in 1952, we had a record snowpack up and down the Sierras,
mm-hmm.
and the city of San Francisco's Streamliner train was stuck up there for about 4 days, and the people ran out of food. They had to bring in snow cats to rescue them. When that snow melted that year, and it came down and filled the reservoirs and choked the streams and built up the groundwater table, that was the time, 6 months later, when we got the strongest quake in California since 1906, and that was the 7.7 Kern County quake down in San Joaquin Valley. So in San Jose, in 1983, we had our record rainfall. It topped the rainfall record of 1889. And I'd known that on April 24th of 1890, following that record rainfall, we had a 6.5 magnitude quake in Santa Clara County.
So it happens that quickly.
It happened. In that case, it took about 5 or 6 months. So in 1983, when we topped that previous record, I said, we're going to have a 6 in 1984, even though we hadn't had one since 1911. And it happened on exactly that same date, April 24th, which is hardly coincidental. April and March and October are our three biggest earthquake months. So my confidence level goes up. So I will certainly be watching now for March, as I shift over to the full moon, Syzygy, And for the next 6 months, I'll be following the full moon syzygy. And I gave to all of my subscribers the top windows for the year. I made that list in the mailing in January.
All right, stay with us. We're going to open up the phone lines. And if you've ever been in an earthquake, check in with us. I want to know what it's like. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, he's packed with information tonight. Geologist Jim Berkland, earthquakes. And we'll be back. We'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Jim Berkland. Jim, do you travel much these days?
Yes. We just came back from Cabo. And partly because of that, I said that Mexico would have a 6+ during February. And just after it came back, they had a 6.4 down at Chiapas.
What did you see? What did you feel in order to come up
with that? Well, I knew these high tides were coming up, and we had the new moon on the 8th, and the tides were still pretty high on the 12th, and that's when the quake hit there. And there hadn't been a 6 for several months in Mexico. But that was what I call a moth prediction, a monthly outright seismic speculation. I just pull it out of the air without any to see if I had any psychic ability. Well, I don't have much, I'm afraid, but this one hit. And I also did say, based on the maximum tides and the frequency of major quakes of 7 or greater, they only happen about once a month. But I did say that one would happen during this seismic window between the 18th and 25th of February. And on the 18th, there was this 7.5 there in Indonesia. And, of course, it was on the day of the eclipse. I also said there would be a 3.5 to 6.5 within 140 miles of Los Angeles. And there's a rash of 5 and smaller ones, you know, a huge swarm down in Mexicali. But as I look at the closest one was not 140 miles, but more like 180 miles away. So I really missed on that one. But there was a 3.2 off in the Channel Islands. So that was close to my 3.5, and I would get like 70% on that. But I am looking still for a 3.5 to 6 with an epicentral address of Washington and or Oregon.
You just may find it. First yes. time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
And where are you calling from?
Twin Falls, Idaho.
Great. Go ahead.
My name is Erin, and I did this morning about 7:15 our time. I got literally almost shook out of bed.
Oh, boy.
It was crazy. Yeah, it felt like somebody was knocking the wall down behind me, and my bed was moving, and I ended up on the edge of my bed, and my chandelier was moving around, and my, yes?
Did anything knock over, any cups or anything tip over?
Yeah, my Coca-Pelli doll on my dresser got knocked down on the floor.
Okay, that makes intensity 5, so that's pretty impressive at that distance.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was pretty crazy. Yeah, I thought I was the only one that maybe, I thought it was just me, but it wasn't. I called some other people, and they're like, oh, no, you know, it definitely was. So
well, I hang pendulums all around my house, and I used to have it at the office, and it could pick up distant quakes quite clearly.
Yes.
Hanging them next to the wall so that you're not going to be mopping into them.
Erin, do you feel disoriented when this happens?
I did all day. I did, honestly. My whole day was kind of off kilter, you know.
Yeah.
It was a really different feeling. So
That's right. When the old solid Mother Earth begins to shake like that, it takes a while to get over. And for all during the next couple of days, you say, did you feel that? You're not sure if you're feeling an aftershock or whatever.
Well, Jim, there will be aftershocks, won't there?
But she's not likely to feel them. They're going to be much, you know, there was a 4.6. And that... She would have seen it on a pendulum, but I doubt if she would have felt that at that distance.
Does the aftershock ever exceed the original earthquake
in terms of
the Richter scale?
When it does, then the original was a 4 shock. But you don't know that.
Ah,
huh?
Okay.
That's the tricky part.
But you don't know that.
But sometimes you have a whole series of quakes without a clear main shock. And that's what an earthquake swarm is. And I call it at least 3 quakes within 8/10 of magnitude of the strongest.
Interesting.
So there's no outstanding main shock.
Okay.
But on occasion, like down in Mexicali, you get a series of dozens or maybe more of earthquakes as part of a swarm, and then suddenly you do get an outstanding main shock.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Jim. How you doing tonight?
Just great.
Hey, it's really great to talk to you guys. My name's Bill, and I'm calling from the Everett, Seattle area.
Okay, Bill.
And I was just curious. I was listening to what you were saying about how one earthquake can possibly lead to another.
Yes.
On the 14th, there was just a small quake outside of McDermott, Nevada.
Uh-huh. I worked up there.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
And about the 2:30 hour of the day, and then about a half an hour later, right around 3:15, there was another quake in Royal Washington. And then at about 3:30 or 3:40, there was another quake up near Lake Kavanaugh. And they were all right in the 2.6 range. And then, of course, the Nevada quake. And I was just curious if you thought those were possibly like one was sympathetically releasing the next one and the next one. And is there a seismic fault that runs?
Well, see, that's so weak. When you get less than 3 magnitude, it's not likely that they're going to trigger another quake at any distance. Maybe within a few miles, but not 40 or 50 miles.
Sure.
Pretty much my rule of thumb is that animals detect quakes to about the same distance that people feel the quakes.
Oh, okay.
And if they're looking more and more now at this distant triggering of other quakes, but usually the twos and threes are not suspect. But up at McDermott is where I got a pet bobcat. Got a tiny little bobcat, and I had it for a year, and it was the greatest pet in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's really great to talk to you guys, and I just, you know, George, I appreciate your work. You're just fantastic to listen to. I listen to you all night long when I'm working.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And I can't get enough of the show. I wish it was on more hours of the day.
Okay, we've got more calls. I do want to mention a quick story, Jim. It's not related to earthquakes, but a very bizarre story. This is coming from United Press International, and it said that the Secret Service told Dallas police to stop screening for weapons while people were still arriving at a campaign rally for Barack Obama. Police stopped checking people for weapons at the front gates because there were so many people coming in, they wanted to speed things through. So the order to stop using metal detectors and checking purses and laptop bags constituted a security lapse. The local Dallas police, furious over what they claim were federal officials making this order. How bizarre can this get? How stupid can people be?
That's scary. I hope the word doesn't get out. How would you like to go to an airport and see them rushing people through?
No.
Especially
that
those turbines.
Sense at all. Okay, back to the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim. This is John calling from Long Island, New York.
Hey, John.
Me and my girlfriend experienced a tremor about 7 or 8 years ago in Long Island, Middle Island, New York.
Yeah.
And they actually woke us up. It's like actually shaking the mirror. I'd like to know if you predict any earthquakes in the future for Long Island, like a real earthquake.
Yeah, what's out that way? And I've got to disconnect you there, John, because your phone is crackly, but you can listen on your radio. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, it's interesting, you know, the big quake in Mexico City in 1985. It was a great earthquake, devastating, killed about 10,000 people. It was on the 19th of September, the next last day of the predicted seismic window. Exactly 1 month later, and it was October 19th, Westchester County, north of New York City, had a 4.5, I believe, which shook the tall skyscrapers. And the strongest I've heard of in that area for a long time. But in going back through history in the 1700s, 1800s, there have been several quakes that shook New York. And in the Boston area, it's even more prominent, earthquake history.
Yeah, and they've been pretty quiet, really, for a long time.
Lately, yep. There was one of the first earthquake predictions by High Science came in northern New York, where there was, let's see, what's the name of the reservoir? There's a lake up there. It was given a lot of press and a lot of papers that they predicted a 3-magnitude quake. Well, it turns out they'd already had very heavy rains. The lake level was rising, and they had a couple of quakes up to about 3.9. So then they rushed in their instruments and predicted that there'd be another one. And when the 3.2 came in, they said, see, we got it. We're right. We predicted that quake. And it was, got all kinds of press, but it was a after you've had a quake and then you predict another one, it doesn't mean much.
No, not at all. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on with Jim Berkland. Hi.
Hey, George Norrie.
Hey, you.
Dear heart, this is Junior Obladi Girl. Jim Berkland, I enjoy your work so very much.
Good.
Back in the 60s, now historically, and we know I love the history part of it, in Gary, Indiana, where I lived as a teenager. Excuse me, I got the galloping crud again, George. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Anyway, we had the hugest blizzard that ever recorded in the United States, in Midwest. It was the blizzard of 1967, January. And Chicago was literally stopped in its tracks. And, of course, Gary's so close to Chicago. And I think, I may be mistaken, but I think about 6 months after that, in June of 67, it was warm, and I was living in 7th and Polk near Holy Angels Cathedral in downtown Gary, Indiana. My friend was laying on the couch reading a book, and I was sitting in the sun porch chair reading a book. And Mary actually rolled off the couch. It wasn't a shake. It was a shudder. And I looked at Mary, and I said, I think we just had an earthquake. She says, June, we don't have earthquakes in Indiana. An hour later, sure enough, on the radio, they said we had a slight.
Yep, yes, you did, because St. Louis got it then, too.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yep, sure.
Oh, wow.
On April 7th in Ohio, 4.2 on 1967, June 4th, 3.8, Greenville, Mississippi. June 29th, Greenville, Mississippi had a intensity 5, magnitude 3.4. July 21st, Missouri had a 3.9.
Mm-hmm. Good size
for that. But a lot of quakes are really close in, and if they're shallow, they feel pretty strong when you're right over them.
Hey, Jim, give me the ideal conditions, according to you, for an earthquake, a possible earthquake.
Okay.
With the full moon and the new moon.
Well, the three major tide-raising forces are the nearness of the moon at perigee, the nearness of the sun at perihelion, which is early January every year, and the lining up of the sun, moon, and earth every time we have a newer full moon, especially if it's an eclipse. So the best possible thing was if in early January, like the 2nd, 3rd, 4th of January, you had an eclipse of the moon or sun, and you had, not the same day, just minutes away, you had the closest approach of the moon for the year or several years. Now, that kind of situation developed on January 4 of 1912. And the minute I saw that date, there was no eclipse, but you had the syzygy, perigee, and perihelion. And the syzygy and perigee were only an hour and a half apart, and they can be 8 days apart. Anyway, that produced really high tides, and the highest in 600 years.
Jeez.
And so I went to the earthquake records, and I found the strongest quake in California, Nevada in 2 years, 1912, 1913, was up near Mammoth Lake. It was about a 5.5, and darned if it wasn't on January 4th, 1912, the very date of the maximum tidal force in 600 years. And my colleagues with the Geological Survey said, oh, Jim, haven't you heard a coincidence? I said, yes, and I've heard of corroborative evidence. It doesn't prove it, but it certainly looks suspicious to me.
Next up, we'll go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, Jim, as soon as I saw that eclipse was coming up, I thought of you, and I thought of where's going to be the big earthquake. And sure enough, I really hope you start getting the credit you deserve, because it's kind of ridiculous at this point that, I mean, you should be on every news show when these things are coming up. And I just, you know, it's just another one of those things that I guess the media just blow off. But I wanted to quickly just tell you my sort of synchronicity earthquake story.
All right.
Back in 94, I had dropped out of law school and I flew out to L.A.
Yeah.
And I land and I had heard.
January 17.
Well, what happened was, a little close on, but here's what happened. My buddy had told me I had this sure thing, this sure job lined up at this art gallery in Beverly Hills. So I get out there and we go straight in there and I sit down, you know, right on Rodeo Drive in the main office in this beautiful gallery with all these huge glass windows in front. You know, it's all glass.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and the guy sits down in front of me and he says to me, so why did you come to L.A.? And I started thinking to myself, oh, my God, I don't have this job. Normally I'm not at a loss for words, but I couldn't think of anything to say because I'd come out here for this gig. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, think of something. Something's got to happen.
I want to feel an earthquake.
and I didn't think that, but right then the entire room started to shake.
Oh.
And the guy grabbed me and threw me in the door jamb. And, George, basically it feels like, you know, if you've ever been on top of one when you're a kid, if you lie on top of one of those sort of sheets or a parachute when they sort of whip it around and you get flown up in the air.
Yeah,
the waves.
Your parents are taking you,
You know what I'm saying? That's as close as you want to get to it. But anyway, so we're knocked back and forth inside, pretty hard inside this door jam, and the guy's laughing, basically, holding on to me. I'm like, my God, what the hell? So I look towards the front, and my buddy who'd sent me up for the gig is running straight out towards the front, and those huge, big glass windows, those big panes were wobbling back and forth like you wouldn't believe. And I go, you know, I scream at him, yo, get down, and he dives through there. Needless to say, when it stopped shaking after about, I think it was about 3 seconds, it turns out this was the 5.6 aftershock of the Northridge. And I didn't have to answer that question because I ended up cleaning up the art gallery, and I got the job just by proving my merit.
Man, on the spot, Johnny.
And so needless to say, sometimes I'm not saying I had anything to do with it, but, you know, when you have a synchronicity like that, it does make you think. So.
Right. Well, I was at the Berkland family reunion on the 1st and 2nd of January and told my cousin, you better do something with that Hummelware, her lifelong collection lined up around the family room. They had no protection for it. She said, oh, I know I should. And 2 weeks later, that's when she lost 90% of it.
Let's get another quick call, and then we'll wrap things up with you, Jim. Go ahead, first-time caller.
Hello.
Hi.
How are y'all doing?
Good, sir. Thanks.
I got a quick question. I live in San Antonio, Texas, and I previously, in 1985, when the earthquake in Mexico happened, I lived on the border, actually.
Ooh.
And I honestly, as a kid at the time, I don't remember feeling anything, but brings me to my question of there's always been a rumor. I briefly remember seeing some type of either paper or on the internet a fault line that's supposed to run through Texas, San Antonio specifically. Do y'all know anything about that?
Well, there's one through Oklahoma, a clear fault scarp, but it hasn't had any real movement on it in recent years. Texas gets its share of quakes. They had one about 5 magnitude. Remember when was it the... the FBI invaded that place and
Waco?
Remember that, Waco?
Yes.
And the guy said, leave me alone or I'll make a quake. And
right.
They had a quake near the Waco within a couple of weeks.
Wow, I didn't even know that they had that after that. So does that line just run through Oklahoma or does it run all the way through Texas to Mexico?
I don't think it comes down as far south as Texas. But,
okay.
But you do have, you know, there are faults there, but that's not your main problem with the hurricane situation and the few tornadoes, yeah.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you taking the call.
Okay, great. Minute to go. Tell us about the website. What's available on it,
okay,
Jim Berkland?
Yeah, and if people want to get a sample copy of my newsletter, just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to Jim Berkland, P.O. Box 1926, 4 years before I was born, 1926. And it's in the little town of Glen Ellen, California. The zip code is 95442. And if you would slip a couple of dollars in there, that'll have to defray the mailing expenses that I have with my whole mailing list.
I think we crashed your website.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
I know your program is number one for doing that.
Yeah, it is. Very powerful.
And, so people should start watching now for the next few months with the full moon. We're through with eclipses, I think, until August. But we're going to have, as the perigee, the closest approach to the moon, begins to shift closer and closer to the day of the newer full moon.
It's pretty fascinating, Jim, to use what you've taught us over the years and then watch it unfold, and it does. Hey, Jim, we got to run. Thank you.
Very good. Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Berkland, up next. Ghosts. Robert Honeycutt joins us from the Georgia Ghost Society. I'll be right back.